Hi there, this is Alvin, and welcome to the Kickstart Commerce Podcast, where we share search marketing and domain name investing strategies to help grow your business. In today's episode, I'll share with you 9 things not to say or do when buying a domain name. That being said, I receive a number of inquiries on a weekly and monthly basis, and sometimes I have to either put my head into my hands just with some of the inquiry responses, as well as just the dialogue, the back and forth negotiations of just buying a domain name or selling a domain name. So one of the first things that, you know, is a turnoff for me as a domain seller or investor is when people approach me using an alias or a fictitious email. And so this is kind of a gray area for some people. For me, I'd rather just straight up be who I am, because the reality is, you know, you're going to do damage to a relationship that you don't know whether or not you're going to cross paths with this person again. And so, for instance, if you're out there and you're using a fictitious alias or fictitious name or email address to try to buy a domain, and then the person ends up finding out who you really are, obviously that's going to kind of sour the relationship of, well, if this person wasn't forthcoming with me, what else are they, you know, kind of hiding? And so for me, it's just of personal preference that, hey, I just use, you know, my straight up identity, my given identity rather, and I try to stray away from and not even go the path of using an alias email. Like I said, some people are going to argue with this, saying that, you know, well, hey, if you use a fictitious or an alias email that does not give away your identity, then you're likely going to pay less. And so that is true. You're likely to pay less, but long term, if they find out who you were, and they find out that you did use an alias, then to me, you end up paying long term because they're not likely wanting to deal with you, or they're going to try to make it up in the next opportunity if there is or should there be one. So, you know, don't, in my personal opinion, don't use an alias or a fictitious email. Number two, and this one kind of takes the cake because this is likely the most common move that a domain investor encounters when someone inquires about buying their domain, and it's claiming to, you know, have some sort of project or be a poor student or person, or claim that it's for a nonprofit or charity or some sort of cause. And to a certain extent, you know, I mean, if you are truly using the domain for that cause, then great, state that. But there are oftentimes it's, hey, you know, this project's for my daughter and I'm just trying to help her get started. And the reality is, if it truly, you know, if you truly are starting a business using this domain, then hey, to a certain extent, every business is out there to serve a function. And when they serve that function, the byproduct of that is they make money. So if you can't afford it, maybe the best opportunity or best alternative is to use a non.com that you can afford, or a non.com or another .com rather that you can afford, so that you can actually build your business on that. And then at the appropriate time, then go to upgrade that domain. You know, too many times, much like the alias and the fictitious email, you know, oftentimes people, you know, just ultimately claim to, you know, to be poor or to be a student. And so the other thing that you'll need to also consider about that approach is that oftentimes, especially if you're using domains that have professional, you know, if they're parked pages with professional contact forms on it, likely is the case and often is the case that those forms also give greater detail about who you are based on your IP address. So, you know, you can narrow it down to a neighborhood oftentimes, if not within a given house, which is kind of creepy and scary, but that is possible. So, you know, you want to kind of be on your P's and Q's, and don't think that, you know, by sending it from a work address or from work, from a work computer or network, that that's going to make anything better. If anything, it's just going to come back to your company and likely, you know, raise the price. So don't claim to be a project or poor student or person just for the sake of trying to lower the price. Number three, the next is when you inquire with a lowball offer or you're basically essentially tire kicking. So you have no intention of ever buying the domain, but you're just trying to get a good price point. Or a good gauge rather for what that domain is valued at. In my personal opinion, and typically how I treat most of inquiries are, hey, whatever that person comes in with, you know, if they come in with a reasonable offer and they're a pleasure to work with, oftentimes I'll work with that person either to establish a payment plan or likely if my asking price is at, let's just say $10K, but the person comes in with a $2,500 offer, I may very well accept that $2,500 offer depending on how that person conducts themselves. But if it's, you know, I mean, for instance, I own CryptoLocker.com and I've had many inquiries that have come into play with this domain, everything from $250 to $500 to $1,000. All of those are what I really deem not, I mean, those aren't even at market. Those are well below market value. And so, you know, think about the domain name that you're inquiring about. And like I said, don't come in with a lowball offer, because oftentimes if there is anything less than $1,000 on a CryptoLocker.com, I'm not going to pay attention to it. I'm just going to ignore it. And so, you know, likewise is the same with other investors. They're going to do the same thing. If they don't sense that you're being genuine or serious in your initial offer, then, you know, likely is the case, you know, you're not going to get a response, or the response that you're looking for is not going to be what you bargained for. So, you know, when you go to purchase, if you don't have the means to put down a one-time lump sum, then, you know, I encourage you at least approach that domain investor with, hey, I can't do, you know, $2,500, but I may be able to do a $3,000 payment plan with a little money down. And so, you know, that's just something to consider when you're about to make an inquiry on a given domain name. The other thing is, if you are one of those people who, you know, you keep kind of checking back every 4 to 5 months, hoping that the price would go down. The other thing to watch out for is that, you know, you could expect the price every time you inquire, instead of going down, it could actually go up. And should it go up, then you're just shooting yourself in the foot. And so, keep that in mind in terms of when you go about inquiring about a domain name. So number four on the list, and this is one that happens quite often, is you start a negotiation and then much kind of like the lowball offer or the tire kicker, then you get a person who just vanishes or disappears from negotiations altogether. And so that being said, if you're that type of person that you just inquire and then you don't even respond to thank the person for their time, whether it be domain seller or the inquirer, so the buyer on this side. As a buyer, I encourage you, you know, to stay in communication with a given domain investor or seller, because you never know what may happen in terms of, you know, in terms of turn of events, that they may need to liquidate and they'll remember, you know, your interaction. Or oftentimes, like I said, if you vanish or disappear, go ahead and expect the price to go up. I mean, there's not much that, there's not much to say, you know, for someone that will reappear and then disappear or not respond. So that being said, you know, just give a common courtesy to respond, even if the domain is outside of your range. So number five, the next one is showing up at a domain registrant's physical address. So obviously domains are, you know, it's a requirement by ICANN that contact information be updated. And so oftentimes people will put an address down. And there have been known stories of people just showing up at people's houses, showing up at their business in an attempt to purchase a domain name. So let me say, do not do that. One, there's too much going on in this world for you to be popping up on a surprise visit on someone in hopes to be able to purchase their domain. So that being said, don't do that. And then even moving forward with the introduction of the GDPR, it's likely going to be less and less of a case as the years progress, because GDPR is actually hiding the domain registrant, you know, contact information, which includes the physical address and phone number and whatnot. The best thing to do is email that address, even if it has a privacy address, email that privacy address that's listed for that given domain, and then attempt to contact them via email first and then phone if need be. So that's number five, no showing up at a domain registrant's physical address to try to hound them about buying a domain. The next one is assuming that a domain is not used. I can't tell you how many times that I get inquiries where people will insist or say, well, hey, you're not using it, so you need to sell it to me, or you just need to give it to me. I actually had a five-letter .com pronounceable, and I had a company actually approach me and say, hey, you're not using the domain, give it to us. Can we just use it without any sort of payment or anything? And so that just doesn't necessarily make sense, because a couple of things about a situation: just because a domain does not necessarily resolve to a parking page or to a website page, what you may not understand is that domains are often leased for email. And so even though you don't see a website set up or a you know, a web page of any sort for a domain to resolve to, that doesn't mean that the person who owns a domain is not leasing it out for email, you know, email leases. The next thing about that is you don't know if that domain owner is also leasing out space for like FTP. I know oftentimes, you know, someone will have a domain and they may be running a business that they don't necessarily have a front end website, but they will often use a domain for a given purpose of transferring files. And so that's something that you can't see or even, you know, even identify just by typing in a domain name. You know, the third reason also is that just very much like leasing out for FTP, I've also known domain owners to actually lease out subdirectories. And so let's say you have, and I'll just use my own name, alvinbrown.com. Well, it may not resolve, but then I may have alvinbrown.com/shoes, and that may resolve to another business that specializes in shoes. It just depends on what that given, you know, domain name is. I mean, it may be something like brandnameproducts.com that /shoes that goes to one. It may do another slash off the main directory there, and it may say women, then that may go to a women's site. It may say men, and it may go to a men's site. So there are a number of ways a domain can be used, not only for just a website, but it can be used, like I said, to lease email, FTP, or even redirect subdirectory traffic to it. So don't assume that, you know, just because it does not resolve, that it is not being used. And so that's number six. Number seven on the list is assuming that a domain owner only paid registration fee, and that registration fee is the domain's value. And so we're 30 years into this now. And so it baffles me when I see inquiries come in where folks say, well, hey, you know, I know that you paid and given auction amount or a given registration amount. So oftentimes, you know, if you don't have discount, I believe it's like the discount domain club from GoDaddy, then you're likely going to pay anywhere from $15 to $20. It just depends on how many domains you own. That being said, just because someone paid that doesn't necessarily mean that that is the domain's value. And so, for instance, you know, you wouldn't go buy a house and say, well, I know that you paid $50,000 back in, you know, 1975. And so because it's 2018 today, you know, I want to pay you $50,000. No, you wouldn't do that. And you wouldn't want anyone to come to you to do that about your property, whether it's the value of an antique car or, you know, any sort of antique merchandise, let alone, you know, physical real estate. And so there are parallels between physical to virtual real estate that, you know, they're similar. They're quite similar. And so, you know, it's one of those things that if you're going to approach somebody like that, I mean, you better have evidential proof. I mean, you meaning that you better have a receipt in hand, that it's a legitimate receipt to make this statement. But even with receipt in hand, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, you know, time has passed. This thing has gained value likely, and it's about what the market is willing to pay. You know, and this I speak about in regards of if you're holding a trademark or trying to sell a trademark domain, this doesn't apply. I mean, in my opinion, you have some people out there that that's their thing. That's what they do. But if this is one of those situations to where you rightfully registered a domain years before a company came along to use it, and, you know, hey, and if someone's contacting you about it, it's what the market is willing to pay. I'm sorry, Mr. or Mrs. Buyer, but you've got to pay to play. Now, obviously, you got to pay that one-time fee to own the domain. And then you can, you know, decide, hey, that the domain is at registration fee. But, you know, it's bad taste. So don't do it. Don't make that assumption just about what the domain's value is based on the registration fee. Number eight, which kind of plays on what number seven was talking about, the domain value being the registration fee. Number eight is the personal preference in using domain appraisal services. So I've received a number of inquiries where people have either screenshotted Estabot or GoDaddy appraisal service or some other third-party appraisal tool, and they've sent me the screenshot saying, hey, they say that your domain is worth this much. And the reality is, okay, great, you can say that, but you don't own the domain. And so therefore, you know, if you're wanting to own the domain, you're going to have to pay, again, what the market is worth. And not only that, Estabot, GoDaddy, and all these other services, even though they have progressed through the years, they, I mean, for some domains, Estabot will give like a $250 value, whereas GoDaddy may give a four to five figure value, just depending on what that given domain is. And so there is no apples to apples comparison. Although I will say that GoDaddy's domain appraisal service, although it's not the best, it is beginning to mimic that of the comparables that are offered on like a physical real estate MLS listing. And so when you go to buy a house, you often are able to see these are comps that have sold within a given range of time that are comp, you know, to the house that you're buying. And GoDaddy's appraisal service is somewhat taking that same approach with domain names to say, okay, here you have a given domain name and here are others that are comparable to it that sold, and based on a given time period, you know, it basically gives you a ballpark range of what the expected rate is. But again, I've looked at a few of my domains through that lens, and there's a few of them that I'm like, I'm not selling this. You know, matter of fact, GoDaddy will appraise it for a fraction, sometimes a percent, anywhere from 2 to 10%. You know, of what my asking price is. And so I've sold a number of domains that when I go back and I look at what GoDaddy appraised it based on what I sold it for, you know, I'm oftentimes selling it for 2-3 times as much as GoDaddy is appraising it. So, I mean, that being said, there are just too many hidden factors to account for when trying to use a domain appraisal service to best position yourself when buying a domain. You really have to consider, just really that given domain. It can't be a, hey, well, this one has this word in it, that one doesn't have this word in it, or this many letters. I mean, it is really, you have to take a holistic approach when you're talking about how you're pricing a domain and what tools you use and what filters you use when, you know, you're trying to consider how much a given domain is worth. At the end of the day, the market is the market. Whatever the market will bear, that's what the domain will get. And whatever that domain owner is willing to, you know, part ways with it. I mean, there are many times that, like I said, for me, when someone approaches me with that, if they're pleasant to work with, I'll work with them. But if not, then, you know, I don't want to deal with them, and good luck, you know, and likely next time they contact me or send an inquiry, it depends on when it is, you know, it may be the same price, it may not, it may be lower. But again, it depends on how you approach the relationship, which I'm more about the relationship than I am just about the switching of hands of a product. And so, because you never know who's going to lead you where in terms of a relationship. So that was number 8, just being mindful that it's personal preference for domain sellers to accept domain appraisal services. Like I said, what the market will bear, that's what you better, you know, get ready to pay when you're talking about buying a given domain. So last but not least, this last one kind of ties into really our very first one about using an alias or fictitious email. And so often is the case, when you submit an inquiry, there is so much information that can be gleaned from that. Like I said, IP address from where you sent it from. Oftentimes, you know, I track inquiries on my own as well as through third-party software. And so what's interesting is oftentimes people will send me inquiries using a Gmail address, no name, nothing. And quite honestly, I just respond and say, when you get ready to be serious, when you're, you know, when you're ready to become a serious buyer, send me an email from your work address or from another email. Because oftentimes I want to research that person, because again, I'm about the relationship. I'm not about just the product of switching hands. And so for me, it's about being in relationship with that person. And so one of the things to keep in mind as a domain buyer is that, you know, you'll be mindful of your Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, forum IDs, and, you know, even personal websites of what you say or not say on those, because all of that stuff can be, you know, used against you in terms of trying to figure out who you are and what purpose that you have in trying to obtain this domain name. And so you remember, search engines tell all, you know, once it's posted on the internet, it does not die. And so there are a number of things from searching LinkedIn to Twitter, and just even searching email and first name, last name. There's so much that can be gathered from, you know, a domain buyer, and that can be used against them, or can actually be used, you know, in the buyer's favor. I've had many situations to where, you know, people, you know, chose to use their real names, use actual email addresses that, you know, I could search on and find them. And sometimes people have, domain buyers have actually reached out to me on LinkedIn, and we've negotiated using LinkedIn messenger or message, the message inbox. And so that's helped out quite a bit. And for most part, you know, I'm still in relationship with, some of the domain buyers and with individuals. And, you know, to me, that creates a stronger bond, because I find out who that person is, a little bit more about who they are. And for me, I want to make sure that my domains, I'm not just blindly selling my domains and, oh, well, I'm not after the dollar. I'm after making sure that my domains are, or rather the domains that I own actually will fall into the hands of someone who is going to develop it. So a true end user. I don't sell to other domain investors. And that's just personal preference. I mean, that's not to say that I won't ever. But that being said, it's like I want to see domains that leave my hands and go into the hands of folks who are going to develop them into viable personal brands or business brands. And so that being said, you know, don't forget that you have a digital footprint out there that lives on. And so you kind of got to be on your P's and Q's, you know, dotting your I's, crossing the T's in terms of some of your interactions. Twitter being probably one of the Twitter and Facebook likely being one of the two of the platforms that are likely most abused. I mean, there are people that don't that either get fired or don't get invited back for an initial interview or secondary follow up interview just because of what they're posting. And so the same is, you know, follow suit in terms of buying a domain. You know, if you say something that may offend a domain seller, they're likely not going to sell you that domain. And, you know, tough luck. You're going to have to likely use another alternative. So with that, we're out of time. And so those are the 9 things not to say or do when buying a domain name. I hope that I've given you a bit of insight. If you are a domain buyer in search of trying to secure that perfect domain for your personal or business brand, like I said, these are just some of the ones that I come across on a regular basis. And so I hope that it helped you. And I hope that if it's you that are using some of these tactics, I hope that you can correct your behavior. And then if you're a first time buyer and you just don't know, I hope that, you know, that these tips and tricks and tactics will help you, you know, put you in a better position to be able to secure that domain name. So thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Kickstart Commerce, where we share search marketing and domain name strategies to help grow your business. Please subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Podbean. Last but not least, please visit kickstartcommerce.com to subscribe to the weekly newsletter where I share tips and tricks about the disciplines of digital strategy. Thanks, and that's all for now.